coming on the clouds. Kings and kingdoms will bow down. And every chain will break as broken hearts declare His praise. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles. And every knee will bow before you. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sin of the world. His blood breaks the chains. And every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Oh, every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Open up the gates, make way before the King of Kings. Our God who calls the saved is here to set the captives free. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles. And every knee will bow before you. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sin of the world. His blood breaks the chains. And every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? 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 Who can stop the Lord? Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles. And every knee will bow before you. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sin of the world. His blood breaks the chains, and every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Oh, every knee will bow before the Lion. Oh, 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 oh. And every knee will bow before the Lion. Oh, 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 oh. Every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning.
Few announcements. There we go. I have a few announcements, and then Miss Kim and Brent do too. First off, we'll be continuing the Revelation study at 6 p.m. tonight. July 19th, When Revival Comes Bible study starting at 6 p.m. July 20th, there will be a retirement reception for Jeannie Tomlinson at the associational office in Harrison, and that is from 6:30 to 8 p.m. July 21st, we will be doing a podcast for youth, parents, and grandparents starting at 6 p.m. We'll have some pizza, snacks, and drinks. This podcast, I really encourage you to come and bring your kids, even if you might have little kids, you might come as a parent and listen to this. This is a podcast of a dad. Bro Lane talked about it, but it's a dad talking about his son committed suicide after he got in a bunch of mess with some online stuff. And it's a really good podcast, and it's some stuff that even we don't think about is happening here, but it really is happening around us locally. These kind of dangers our kids can get involved with. So that'd be really good for y'all to be there and to be part of that and just listen. We'll talk some about what we hear. July 25th, nominating committee at 6:30 p.m. July 30th, we'll have our fifth Sunday dinner. And then August 5th, we'll have a retirement reception party for Bro Lanny and Miss Gwen starting at 3 p.m.
I got hit on a couple of those licks again, just real quick. Hey, Jeannie's retiring. That's a big deal. So I'm thinking maybe you've been looking for somebody to come do some light cooking or clean house for you. She's about to have a little time on her hands, so you might want to get in on that pretty quick. And be a good chance to see that new associational office, too. Awana training, July 31st at 6:30. It's going to be at Freeman Heights. Now, the way those have worked in the past, they've had a lot of breakout sessions. Kim, do you know anything about it, really?
I don't think so.
Okay.
But I don't know for sure.
New deal. We've been to several in the past. We've always gotten some very good information. It's been very good for us. We got a new leader. Kim's going to be involved. She's going to be there. So is Lauren. And, boy, it'd be good to support both of them. And I think it'll be a good program, a good thing to do. Brother Lanny and Miss Gwen's retirement celebration, August the 5th. We're going to have some good food. Michael Stroud's going to cook for us. I don't know if you've ever had Michael Stroud cook for you before, but it's pretty good. But it would be good to bring some coleslaw, potato salad, something like that. I think he's doing the meat. He's doing beans. He's doing some smoked cornbread. But coleslaw. And also, I think there's going to be some cake. But if you want to bring pies, something like that would be great. I don't know if there's any particular kind of pie that you're fond of, Brother Lanny. Maybe if you've picked anything up on that over the years and might know one of his favorites, it'd be a good thing to do as well. So thanks so much. How'd I do? Did I get everything, Jen?
Sure I did.
Maybe getting more instructions. I don't know. Well, it kind of stole my thunder a little bit, but we're going to talk about Awana for just a minute. I am stepping down. Lauren's going to be commander. She's going to do a great job. I already see great things coming from her. So I am going to be around with her this year. We're going to do a training, as he said, at Freeman Heights, Monday, July 31st, from 6:30 to 8:00. Please join us. We haven't done a training for a long time. They haven't had any quite around here, and we think we've done it for so long, we know how to do it, but we always learn a lot of good things. So please join us if you can. We'll have to know that by next Sunday. We do need to register. There's not a fee, but they do want to know how many of us are coming. We're going to try to start Awana the Wednesday after the rally, which is September 13th. We want to have a leaders meeting on August 18th. We'll put this all on the bulletin for you, but at 6 o'clock. Alpena and Green Forest school schedules are going to change next year, and we need to talk about how that's going to impact Awana and the vans. So please join us for that, and then join us for this training if you can. Thank you.
All right, I think that's it. Will y'all pray with me? God, just thank you for this day you've given us, Lord. Thank you for all the things we have going on, God. I pray you just bless those things. God, I pray for Brother Lanny and what we're going to hear this morning. God, I pray you just have control over that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand together.
Thank you.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? When the bridegroom cometh, will your robes be white? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Will your soul be ready for the mansions bright and be washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Amen.
Let me hear your words above all other voices, above all the distractions in this world. Let me hear your words above all other voices, above all the distractions in this world. For your words bring life, and your voice speaks promises. Lord, your love offers more than anything else in this world. Your words give us life that's never ending. Your words bring us love that never fails. Everything else will fade away, but what will remain are your words. Let us speak your words more than ours, more than ever. Let us share your love with all the world. Life that's never ending. Your words bring us love that never fails. Everything else will fade away, but what will remain are your words. Your words give us life. Your words give us life that's never ending. Your words bring us love that never fails. Everything else will fade away, but what will remain are your words. Oh, 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 the grass will wither. The grass will wither and the flowers will fall, but the word of our God will last forever. The grass will wither and the flowers will fall, but the word of our God will last forever. Your words give life that's never ending. Your words bring us love that never fails. Everything else will fade away, but what will remain are your words. Your words give us life that's never ending. Your words bring us love that never fails. Everything else will fade away, but what will remain are your words. Let me hear your words above all other voices, above all the distractions in this world. Amen. Amen. You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. You are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are here, touching every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, healing every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, turning lives around. I worship you. I worship you. You are here,
mending every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. 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 Even when I don't see it, your word. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keep, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. 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 Amen. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender care. In thy pleasant pasture, feed us. For our use, thy folds prepare. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus. Thou hast bought us, thine we are. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus. Thou hast bought us, thine we are. We are thine, do thou befriend us. Be the guardian of our way. Keep thy flock from sin, defend us, seek us when we go astray. Blessed Jesus, hear, oh, hear us when we pray. Blessed Jesus, hear, oh, hear us when we pray. Thou hast promised to receive us, poor and sinful though we be. Thou hast mercy to relieve us, grace to cleanse and power to free. Blessed Jesus, early let us turn to Thee. Blessed Jesus, early let us turn to Thee. Early let us seek Thy favor, early let us do Thy will. Blessed Lord and only Savior, with Thy love our beings fill. Blessed Jesus, Thou hast loved us still. Blessed Jesus, Thou hast loved us still.
Amen. You may be seated.
With us today, and if you're visiting with us for the first time, there's a visitor's card there in the pew in front of you. If you would fill that out and drop it in the offering plate as it comes by, and one of our men will come lead us in prayer.
Our Father in heaven, we thank You for this beautiful day in which we can come into Your house and praise and worship You through song and teaching and giving. And we thank You that we live in a country where even the poorest of us is richer than 80% of the rest of this world. And we thank You that You have given us out of Your abundance. And we thank You that we can give to You, that we can return back a portion of the things that You've given us, and we thank You for the wisdom of the leaders of this church, that they have chosen to do well with it, that we are spreading the name of Jesus in this place. And we thank You for that in the name of Jesus. Amen.
in charge of Children's Church. We're going to give you an opportunity to take care of your group right now. Is that a good sound? Good sound, isn't it? You know, you can kind of tell what kind of job the workers are doing when the kids leave for Children's Church, if they're wanting to go or if their parents are dragging them and they're screaming and crying. We know they're doing a pretty good job back there. So, Jeannie, you're going to retire. Poor old Don. He'll have lots more to do, won't he? Congratulations, Jeannie. We're proud of you, and we're glad that you've been serving us and serving the association these past years. Take your Bibles and turn to John, the 13th chapter. If you were in my shoes and you knew that you were only going to preach a couple more times to this congregation, what would you preach? I tease the school teachers, and they're talking about when it comes time to give a test and all that. I said, well, we'll just give them all a pretty good grade and let's skip it. They're never in agreement with that. So I guess I could just say, okay, we're dismissed. Everybody get a little more time on Sunday evening, but I'm not going to do that. When Jesus was getting ready to go to the Father, we know John 14 pretty good. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And so we know that he was speaking some of his last words to the disciples and preparing them for his leaving. But he does something in the 13th chapter that really prepares them for the future. And if you and I were to do just a little history on the disciples and what happened to them after Jesus left. Of course, the Holy Spirit has come. We've been talking about that in the book of Acts, when he empowered the church to go forward. And, you know, you would think, well, now everything's just right. Everybody's going to be happy and live a great life. But what happened is that persecution breaks out. And they're facing great persecution. They were facing death. Heal James, reach out for Peter. And the Lord opens the prison doors and he goes back to those that were praying for him. And so the church has reached a point that you've never been here before. You and I have never been here before in the society in which you and I are living. I hope I get this straight. In the society in which you and I are living, we've never been here before. It is totally different. It's coming to a place to be anti-church. And the workplace is coming to a place to be anti-Christian. And so I think that, well, is that, oh my, that's bad news, that's terrible. But never in the history of the church has it ever faced persecution when it didn't grow. Christianity has never faced persecution before in the workplace or any other place that it didn't grow. And so what I want to do today is leave you with John 13, where Jesus washes the disciples' feet. So I'll make sure that I make the point. Jesus said, I've done this to you, and you don't know what I've done. You don't understand it, but you're going to understand it later. And then he says, if I've done this for you, you do it for one another. Okay, there's a point. So don't, I've preached a point. I want you to understand that we've made one point. Jack Taylor said several years ago that there is a spiritual counterpart to physical foot washing. There's a spiritual counterpart to physical foot washing. So what does foot washing do? What did Jesus do when he washed the disciples' feet? Well, he gave them, he refreshed them for one thing. It refreshed their lives. It energized them. I can remember my dad was a logger and worked long, hard hours. We didn't have indoor plumbing at none of the time when I was growing up. But I can remember him sitting on the front porch with a big pan of water on the step below him with his pants legs rolled up with his feet in that pan of water just to refresh him, just to give him energy to go on. So what I want to share with us today, I'm not introducing to you that we start a new doctrine in the church of foot washing. There are some denominations that still do that. Free Will Baptists still do it. I don't know if they do it frequently or not, but that's part of their doctrinal makeup, is that they still have foot washings. And I'm not saying it wouldn't hurt anything, but it's not like baptism or the Lord's Supper. It's not something that we would count on that level. But what I am saying is that Jesus said, if I've done this for you, you should do it for others. So this spiritual counterpart of physical foot washing is that you and I bless people in such a way that we give them energy to go on. We bless their lives in such a way that we help them to continue on. We do that in a lot of different ways, with cards or letters or arm around the shoulder, or say, hey, come over and let's have supper together, or let's go out and eat. We do it in a lot of different ways. Maybe it's to build a deck or porch for somebody. Maybe it's to put a roof on someone's house. Maybe it's to paint someone's house. We painted a house a few years ago for a lady over here on 412, and I visited with them, talked to them about us painting their house and getting permission for us to do it, and she said, what color would you paint it? And you know, that would be a question, wouldn't it? You'd want to know if somebody's going to paint your house, what? color would you paint it? And I said, well, we've got some school bus orange left over. And we thought maybe we might. And I said, oh, she said, I said, no, I'm kidding. Whatever color you want it, that's what color we'll paint it. But it gave energy, gave some energy to that family. We fixed a leaky roof, but all those are foot washings. All those are examples of giving folks something to say, let's go on. Let's press forward toward the mark of the high calling. So take your Bible and turn with me to John the 13th chapter, and let's stand together as we give reverence to these first 17 verses. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of the world unto the Father, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel, girded himself. You get that picture? You're watching that go forth? You're getting that picture? After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Anyone have that attitude today? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. You'll know later. You don't understand it now, but you're going to know later. Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. And Jesus answered and said unto him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Now listen to this closely. Listen to what Jesus says to him. And Jesus saith unto him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. And he's talking about Judas here. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, you're not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, know you what I've done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. There's the command. For I've given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. Sam Walton was speaking to a group of his employees, and he said, our success lies not in the top officials, but in the field managers. When you compare companies to the church, the field managers are the church membership. Have you noticed employee-owned? Have you seen that sign? I don't know which. Maybe Harps is the one that has that, but it may be different companies or grocery stores. But it says employee-owned. So smart companies know when the workers take ownership, the employee does good and the company does good. I hope that you grabbed hold of that. Ownership. So, let me ask you, have you taken ownership in your church? Is this your church? Have you taken ownership in it? Responsibility? This is yours. The future of this church belongs to you. It is in your hands. You've taken ownership to what will go on here. The key to success is not so much in the leaders, but in the servants. Kim, I'll put you on the spot. How many workers did we have in summer camp? Do you remember? 34 workers. 34 folks showed up. Some of them took their vacation. They took off from what they were doing, and they committed themselves to having day camp here at Osage. That's unheard of. That's above and beyond. I heard someone say about a church was having vacation Bible school, and they had over 100 kids and they just had a handful of workers and didn't have enough workers to do the work. Didn't have enough servants to do the work. Well, someone has failed somewhere when we have failed to teach the church that it's not in the leadership, it's in the service. It's not in being in charge, it's in being the servant to the church. And so Jesus teaches his disciples that. The word leader is only used 6 times in the Bible. Did you know that? The word serve or servant is used over 500 times. We are to serve one another. And Jesus is our role model. Look back at Mark, the 10th chapter. And look at verse 45. Mark 10, verse 45. For even the Son of Man, talking about himself, Jesus himself, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Through the years, we've had lots of camps. I don't know how many. You know, Kim, I don't know how many camps we've had, but for years and years we've had church camp. We used to rent places to go and keep them overnight. We found out that we could send them home a lot easier. But we keep them overnight. But we had every camp we'd have a special speaker. I remember this one in particular. Now, we had a big camp. I can't remember. We had a bunch of kids. But we had a lot of workers. And we were serving supper. We were in the cafeteria. And, boy, I mean, it was a madhouse. It was just a roar. And it was a big deal. It was a lot of fun. Our speaker's name was Buddy. Y'all remember him? And we had him a couple of different times. But these kids were bringing their trays to empty the food. And he was standing there at the garbage cans. And he was helping them. And he was going around to the tables. And when they were through, he'd take their tray and empty it in the garbage for them and put it in where the dishwashers were. And I thought, I wish I had thought about that. I wish I would have been the one doing that. But he had a servant's heart. He was constantly serving. And it made all the difference in the world. We've had a few speakers that spent all of their time in the cabin. And they would come just at the time to preach. They didn't even eat with us. they'd come just at time to preach, and they'd preach, and then they'd go back to their room. And I thought, but buddy, he was there in the middle of us the whole time, and everything that was going on, he was involved in it. He had a servant's heart. Even Jesus said, I didn't come to be served, I come to serve. So, let's look at the context of the text. It's Thursday night before Jesus' crucifixion on Friday, 12 hours before the cross. There's strife among the disciples. If you get back over to Luke's gospel in the 22nd chapter, you find out that they were in an argument. Do you know what the argument was about? You remember? Who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of God? Which one of us is the greatest? Oh, I just love these folks that can strut sitting down, don't you? And that was kind of what was going on. I'm going to be the greatest. No, I'll be the greatest. And then this mother says, comes and make sure that my sons are the greatest. Well, you know, sometimes we have to use a little, what is that word that we use when we, EGRs. Sometimes there's EGRs, extra grace required. And that's what Jesus, he's washing the disciples' feet, but he's doing it out of love. He's doing it to give them power to go on. And even in all their immaturity and in all their messing up, Peter always got one foot in his mouth. So what does the text teach? It teaches three things. In verses 1 through 11, Jesus gives us an example. So what's the definition of an example? Here, let me show you how to do it. You do the example. I'm going to do it, and then you do it. Let me give you an example. I'm going to do it for you, and then you do it for one another. So Jesus is the example. He gives the example. Secondly, he asked them a question in verses 12 through 14. And he said, but you know what I'm doing. And matter of fact, this is, he already knew they didn't know what he's doing. But he asked them a question, do you know what I'm doing? And he said, you don't know now, but you're going to know later. You're going to make this discovery later. You're going to make this discovery later that it is not in being in charge. It is serving. It is serving other people. Finding some way to serve someone else. Find out what their love language is and start meeting that need. In your own family, with your own church members, in the place that you work. And start meeting that need. That's servanthood. That's what Jesus is talking about when he's talking about serving. He said, you don't understand it now, but you're going to understand it later. And then he gives them a command. It's kind of like the command to be filled with the Spirit. It doesn't say, well, it's you can if you want to. No, he says, be filled with the Spirit. The Bible says be filled with the Spirit. It doesn't say choose whether or not to be. It just says be filled with the Spirit. And here he says, do it. Do it to one another. He doesn't give any choice here. So we see, first of all, the example of Jesus, and he teaches how Christians are to minister and to serve in the name of the Lord. Verses 1 through 3, we see the example of a loving heart.
And they'd not always been lovable, had they? So it's not for those that are easy to love. It's for everybody. Let me ask you. Let's just pull back the shades here. Get some transparency here. Is there anyone in this church that you would not wash their feet? Is there anyone in this church that you would not wash their feet? Oh, a little grudge. Maybe they offended you at some time, or you had some kind of business deal and it didn't work out to your benefit. And so you kind of always held that against them. Anybody in this church that you wouldn't wash their feet? He didn't say, he just said, do it. He just said, do it. He gave us a command that you wouldn't give them the energy to go on. He loved them in spite of their immaturity. He gives us the example of a humble spirit in verse 4. And he took a towel, the badge of a slave, a picture of a servant. You and I as Christians are called to be servants, not celebrities. The example of a helpful hand, verse 5, the Lord of glory washing feet. And then he gives us the example of a cleansed life. He said, man, if I wash your feet, you're clean. There's some forgiveness here. The Bible says that if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's when there is this thing of our sin being forgiven. You and I can't minister with sin in our life. We can't do it. So, this chair is kind of heavy. Somebody help me. Would somebody else go up there and get that water? I've preached on this several times. Thank you. No.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you. I had an opportunity to preach in Africa when we were there to the missionaries. We did a vacation Bible school for the missionaries. This has been several years ago. And I used this example. The energy to go on. And my job was just talk to them. I can talk, so I had a pretty easy job. Was just to talk to them, let them talk to me. And so all week, I was letting them share. They shared with me, and we just spend time with this couple and that couple, and they talk about their trouble. And so when I preached, I only had one opportunity. And I felt like that God wanted me to use this passage. I preached, so when I came in the room, I came in the room with a pan like this and a deal of water and a towel. I mean, they'd preached all their life, so they knew what was getting ready to take place. They knew about this passage. There was a lot of them. There was a man and his wife sitting along in here in this auditorium. And when I came to this place and the message, I asked for a volunteer. He got up, sat down, took off his sandals or whatever he had on, and I washed his feet, and he wept the whole time, and I wept, and we hugged one another. We didn't even know one another. And he went and sat back down. Then he told me, after the service was over, he said, when I came through the door with the towel and that bowl and that water, he said, I knew in my heart he's going to wash my feet. He said, I knew I was going to be the one. I don't know how many hundreds was there, but he said, I knew I was going to be the one. And so it was a real good experience. I know I'm preaching over. I'm not done yet. Them kids can go to the playground or whatever. I was pastoring at Tuckerman, and every night after the evening service, we'd come home, and in our kitchen was a little breakfast table. We had a dining room, but there was a little breakfast table over in one corner with a couple of chairs at it. And I would go to that table each night. On Sunday night, when I would finish preaching, I would get a glass of tea and sit down at that table. And the girls were little. I remember Rebecca, she's not here, so it won't hurt anything to tell this. She come and crawled up in my lap, and she was helping me drink my tea. And I said, sis, you better go kind of light on that. I said, you'll have an accident. She said, I don't do that anymore. I said, good. She jumped down, and she said, if my neighbor would go back in, I'd be normal. Finally did. She's normal now. But one night, when I was sitting there at that table, Suzanne, our middle daughter, came in with a bowl. And I hadn't preached on that day. But she came in with a bowl and some water and a towel. And she said, Daddy, I'm going to wash your feet. And it was one of the greatest experiences to have those little hands on my feet that I ever experienced in my life. It just meant so much. Is there anybody here that needs me to wash your feet? I won't do it. I'm not going to call on anybody. If you want me to, I will. You bet. I had a pedicure last week. I knew this was going to happen. No, I didn't. Them's pretty feet, did you know it? The Bible says so. You know that? The Bible says how beautiful are the feet of those that spread the gospel. I never thought about it being me, but that's all right. That
told you I'm out there. Good job, bro. I love you, brother. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, we done good, didn't we? Thank you, Ron. Let's stand together.